Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Right now, though, for the hour, Doug Matthews in studio with us, as he is each and every Wednesday at this time. He's presented, as we go on the road, by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. Remember, booze it and lose it. Lose your license, your freedom, your life. Sponsored by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, helping you arrive. Doug, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
How many people have come up to you this past week and said, 96% done now, 97% done now?
We're getting those tweets every day.
Those percentages, a couple, not many, come up to me, I hear.
You stand by that, right?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. The only thing that was reported wrong, but discussed wrong, was that I put the word soon in there. I never said soon. As a matter of fact, I mentioned, and I'll reiterate, it might not even be by National Signing Day. There is not a hurry on this. I know that a lot of Tennessee fans want it to get done, but there's not a hurry on it. As I mentioned before, recruiting right now is front and center. What, we got 8 days? What is today?
1 week from today.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it is on Wednesday, the 19th. That's right. So that's much, much more important. And then, of course, as I mentioned earlier, last week and on Big Orange Sunday, strength, getting this team better. And then the offensive coordinator, they know who they're going to hire. I can't reiterate that anymore. When it's going to be done, I don't know. And there's a lot of reasons why it could, and I don't know what they are. Could be more than one, but there's a lot of reasons why they haven't named a coordinator yet. None of them, by the way, negative. None negative.
But you're saying that you feel like they know what they're going to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And now, what are some of those reasons? Well, could be a lot of things. Maybe, and I don't know this, but I'm just saying, what could they be? Maybe it's a coach that's coaching for a championship, or another reason that he can't leave the staff right now, or doesn't want to leave the staff. Number two, it could be someone that maybe they're having to deal with a buyout of some sort. It could be that the assistant, the guy that they're thinking about hiring, has other things that need to get taken care of. Maybe he has a bonus for coaching in a bowl. There's a lot of things. I don't know if there's any of those things. But bottom line, it is, if that is the number one thing, or even in the top 10 of things to worry about this program right now, it's wasted time worrying.
Could we also throw out that maybe they're coaching for an NFL team and have an NFL season
could
to finish?
Be. I mean, it might be Lincoln Riley waiting until after the national championship game to take the offensive coordinator job. I mean, you know, there's a lot of possibilities there. And I don't know what those are. I do know that they know who they're going to hire.
Let me ask this from in the way the question has been asked to me this week after your visit last Wednesday. If they know who they're going to hire, why are they conducting 3 interviews within the week after Doug Matthews said it's 95% done? To which you would say?
Good question. Let me tell you one thing that is kind of a secret, a little bit of a secret. And I'm talking about here's why you do that. There are 3 reasons to bring someone in for an interview or go interview them. Number one, a position that is now open. Number two, while you have the ability to do this, it's future positions that could or will be hired when things open up later, something else opened up. The other thing you want to do is, and this is the third thing that really needs to be really touched on, this is what Philip Fulmer was so good at, and other coaches, but Philip was really good at. When he had an opening, he interviewed a lot of people. Let's just take an example. Someone who really is big in the RPOs, something that Tennessee does not do particularly a lot of right now. To get information from that person is extremely important. There's no way you're going to interview 5, 6, 7 guys, even for an opening position. You know you're going to limp that, but you bring them in, you talk to them, and you get information. We used to call it, and all this came primarily when I first heard about it, from a guy named Ken Donahue. He was talking about his former boss, Bear Bryant. Coach Bryant would have all these people come in to get information from him, and he had an 80-20 rule. I'm going to give you 20, and while you're there, I'm going to ask you about 80. Because here's what I know about coaches, because I was one in the same regard. You're flattered that a head football coach asks you something about what you're doing. Tell me a little bit, Doug, about what you're doing in the secondary back there. Well, sure, coach, let me get up on the board. I'd end up giving him all my information. I wouldn't find out a darn thing that I wanted to find out from him. So one great story on that, and then I'll move on. The year we won the Sugar Bowl, 1985, beat Miami. The Oklahoma staff, who ended up winning the national championship that year because Tennessee beat Miami, Miami had beaten Oklahoma in the regular season. They flew their whole defensive staff in to Tennessee to find out, and I knew about half of those guys because I grew up with a bunch of them. Coach Proctor was my coach. They flew in to get all this information about from Coach Donahue about what they did defensively to shut down and beat a really, really good Miami offense. They only scored 7 points, and it was primarily after a fake punt. But anyway, Gary Gibbs, the offensive coordinator, defense coordinator, who later became the head coach at Alabama, come in my office afterwards. He said, "Doug, let me ask something." I said, "What's that?" He'd been there 3 days at this point. He said, "Does Ken Donahue ever tell me anything that's going to be useful?" I said, "Probably not." You know, so that's part of it, too. There's a lot of reasons why. But all I can tell you is that is not a problem at Tennessee. That has been addressed very fully. They know who they're going to hire. There's maybe some things that need to be worked out and are being worked out. But, again, the priority for this head football coach right now is not that offensive coordinator. It's getting this recruiting class. Because, quite frankly, they could hire the best offense coordinator in the world, and if they don't get the right players in on this offense, and we all know where they are, it doesn't make any difference who's calling the plays.
And we'll hit some recruiting coming up this hour. Let me ask it from this angle, because it's something I just thought of as you're describing this. If you're bringing someone in to just pick their brain and learn more about their system, what do you do if you have an agreement in place where you know who you're going to hire, but you fall in love with the coach that you're currently talking to about the system you're learning about?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if that could happen or would happen or will happen. I'd say it will not happen. And I'm
not saying from a Tennessee perspective, just in general.
Well, probably one of those guys they're bringing in is the guy they're going to hire too. But
okay.
But you know, let me give you a good example. Well, I won't give you a name example, but someone who really is really good at the passing game. What is Tennessee? If you're Coach Pruitt, and you want to know about, you're a defensive coach, probably don't need a whole lot of help with things defensively. But do you want to talk to somebody that knows a lot about RPOs and formations and all those different types of things, the things that hurt you? You probably do. I can promise you that a couple of the guys that came in for interviews were not guys that were going to ever be hired, but Tennessee wanted some information on that. There's no doubt in my mind that that's true.
I have failed, Doug, the last couple of visits to mention your websites, which is where you can find all of the podcasts. You can find them at 1045thezone.com. You can also go to coach2coachradio.com or visit coachdougmatthews.com. Matthews with one T.
Yeah, the Coach to Coach show I do not put on my website. That is on the Coach to Coach Radio. Larry Stone does that. So, and you know the reason why I put Chalk Talk up on the website. It's not a paid website. It's a pretty cheap website, as a matter of fact. But really to kind of archive things, because sometimes when I'm asked or requested or hear that something that I said, everything that I say on the air is recorded and on that website. So,
it is.
And sometimes I go, most time I'll go back and listen and check and make sure, because there are times when I mean to say defensive coordinator, say offensive coordinator. I meant to say Bob Stoops and said Bob Shoop. So, you know,
there's a reason, Chad. He's one of the most downloaded podcasts every week.
Oh, it absolutely is. It's very popular. I listen to it every week. You can also listen to Doug's visits with us every week with the 104.5 The Zone podcast, with the Midday 180 podcast.
Subscribe on iTunes.
For an hour on Wednesdays. Coach, I want to ask you about this, and I actually tweeted this out, because there are so many reports out there, and there are people who are saying a ton of things, none of them that ultimately become true, and you say very little in regards to this. So I put out there, and I've been crushed over it. I said, look, I'm standing with Coach Matthews on this until proven otherwise with what he's saying, because there's a lot of other websites, a lot of other people saying a lot of things, and a lot of these things have not happened. So I want to ask you about this, what we actually know right now. And I talked about this earlier this week. There's a contingent of Tennessee fans that are freaking out about either a lack of information or information that's being reported, and they don't know exactly what's going on. And my response to that is, we really don't know exactly what's gone on or what's taking place or what is taking place right now. To me, it's important to note what we know and what we don't know, I guess, with this search. Would you agree?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Let me just kind of touch on that a little bit. The reason that there's not any information out there is because there is nobody in that football department nor the athletic department that is leaking, or whatever you want, putting that information out there, because there's nobody in there that has something to gain from it. I've said this for years. Many of the things that people read that are told them by the website folks, who are all quality people, but they get their information from people who have a reason to put it out there. One famous one, I won't get into who it was. He was always called the best recruiter on the Tennessee staff. Well, I'm sitting there looking at him, he never signed anybody. Now he recruited some really good ones. You know, well, I recruited Marcus Dupree too, but he went to Oklahoma. He didn't go to Tennessee. But the reason is because they give information. That's not happening now. Listen, number one, this athletic director, nothing's going to come out of that athletic director's office that he doesn't want to come out of there, and he's going to be the guy that says it. And from what I know of the head football coach, that is exactly true there. Their staff does not talk. They don't talk to anybody. And the people that are making this decision, this will be announced by the head football coach. This is his decision. I can't stress strongly enough that this is his decision. Now, people want to throw things out there. Some people, very, very minority, you know, well, Coach Fulmer's doing this. Coach Fulmer's not doing anything but being the athletic director and helping this head coach, just like he would help any other head coach, take their program to the next step to the championship level or whatever. That's all. He's the athletic director. He, more than anyone else, understands, knows, and wants this head football coach to the guy that's making the decision on this is the head football coach, Jeremy Pruitt. Now, if there was something to disqualify, you know, Tennessee's not going to go through another thing like the Shiano instance, whether that was the right thing or the wrong thing. So, and I don't know what's so hard for some people to understand about that. But, you know, if something gets said enough, I had a good friend, very good friend of mine, call and tell me something that he had read and heard that it wasn't even close to being true. So, but you know, you live with that. You guys live with that. But,
right.
But the bottom line is there's no reason to be concerned. There's no reason about why something hasn't happened yet. There's a reason why it hasn't happened yet. Tennessee knows who they're going to get. And they're going to get him. And that interview thing was a great question, because, again, that's one reason why you bring people in. You bring people in to garner information. You know, if you can learn something that will help your program, if you can learn something that will help you beat an opponent, why wouldn't you bring them in and talk to them about it?
Let's roll through a couple of calls for Doug, and then we'll get back to discussing topics around the SEC and Tennessee football. Hey, Mike, go right ahead. Thank you for calling. Mike, are you with us?
Can you turn your radio down, please, Mike?
We'll see if Rick is ready, and we'll go back to Mike. Hey, Rick.
Yeah, Rick's setting on go.
There you go. Go right ahead, man.
Hey, Coach, first of all, like so many others, I've listened to you for years, thoroughly enjoy your shows. Now, I have a question for you. If I'm out of line, say so. In watching the state high school championship games, I learned you had a grandson out there playing. So being an old offensive lineman, I like the line play. So I zeroed in on your number 66. And from my perspective and my recline, it looked like he got after it pretty good. And I really liked the way he stayed with his blocks and played to the whistle. Again, I'm just curious of your number 66, of his height and weight, and if he's getting any looks. Who from, and I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick.
Well, thank you very much. Obviously, my wife and I and many other people are very proud of him, close to him. I like to use Jared as the example of someone. You know, we talk about football being good or bad, sports being good and bad. each individual is different. It has been tremendous from him. We've seen him grow from a young man who maybe didn't have maybe the confidence that you'd like, and now he has probably more than he needs. It's been great for him. He's had tremendous coaching. I can't say enough about the job Ingle Martin has done there, not only with him but other players. I've watched this program now for 3 years very, very closely. Steve Haywood, his offensive line coach, some other guys there too, from a fundamental standpoint. He'll have an opportunity. He's just a junior. He'll have an opportunity to play somewhere at the next level if he chooses. He's right at 6 foot, weighs a little over 260. So that, of course, is going to limit some things. But if he wants to go on, he's a really good long snapper, a really good short snapper. And if he decides to that's what he wants to do, he'll have some opportunities down the road if that's what he wants to do.
And while we're on the topic of high school football, Chad, I am jealous of Friday nights for not being able to go to CPA's games for one reason, to be in earshot of Doug Matthews and Dave McGinnis talking ball while watching high school football.
Well, I had the game on TV, and it was a dominating performance.
Doug's
by
laughing because he knows what I'm getting
CPA
at here.
CPA line, but I'm going back to what you're talking about. On that sideline, at one point, there was Dave McGinnis, there was Jeff Fisher, Coach Matthews was there. I'm leaving someone out also, but I mean, it was a star-studded event when CPA was in the state championship game.
Coach Fisher's son, I think.
Brandon.
Brandon, yeah. Brandon is a coach there, defensive back coach. You gotta, if he decides to go that route, and I know he's in some other things too, he's got a tremendous future there.
I hear you get into these games a little bit, though.
Pardon me?
I hear you get into these games a little bit.
Well, Dave calls me, I am the offensive run coordinator in the stands.
Yes.
As I ask, when people ask me when I quit coaching, I said, oh, I've never quit coaching. I just do it from the stands.
Doug Matthews in studio with us. Let's go back to Mike on line two, see if Mike's ready to discuss Tennessee football. What's up, Mike?
Mike, he's not. Turn
Mike,
your
you'll
radio
have to call
down,
back
please.
If you want to get through the show. My goodness.
Mike,
Doug,
listen.
Doug, clarify something for me here. What can the athletic director, what can Philip Fulmer do or not do when it comes to recruiting and coaching?
Great question. Here is some things that I see and hear and talked about. You know, why isn't Coach Fulmer doing this? He's an offensive line coach. He's a former head coach. He's a Hall of Fame coach. Blah, 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 blah. Why can't he? Because there's rules that prevent you from doing that.
I think there's a little confusion because at this time, well, not this time last year, but whenever he took over the AD job, he put in to help out with recruiting last minute, right? Like he took a test and did some of the.
Yeah.
I think that may crossover with some people's thinking on what he can do.
And I'm glad you brought that up because that's one other thing in this offense coordinator search. You're allowed to have 10 assistants out on the road recruiting. If you have one leave, like Ty Helton did, then you can name somebody else to go out and recruit. And oftentimes you have somebody in that office. Philip one time used Judy Jackson, who was the lady in charge of, you know, she was lady in charge of, I don't know her exact title up there, but she went out on the road. So one of the things could be now, too, that the whoever they have in that 10th position, you can have 10 assistants and the head football coach. So you got 11 out on the road that can actually go out on the road. It could be they have somebody in that position that is really recruiting some really strong players, prospects, and they don't want to fill the job for that reason. I guess the point I'm trying to make, there's a lot of potential reasons why this offense coordinator has not been named, and none of them are negative. I would not ask Coach Fulmer. I don't know Coach Pruitt well enough to ask him because, number one, they're not going to tell me. And if they would, I don't want to know because I don't want to come on here and act like I do know. But I probably said enough about that. But anyway, the athletic director, there's things that he can do and can't do. He's an employee of the university. If recruits are on campus, or if he is asked to do some things with the staff, football staff, in a meeting room, all that is 100% fine. He can't go out and recruit. He can't, there's a limit to what they can do. I'm not exactly sure what he can do phone call wise and those types of things, but there's rules. And he can't go out on the field and coach. You know, you can't do that. So it's.
Are you hearing that's just flat out wrong that people are saying that he is or is not doing?
Coaching the offensive line. That's during the season.
Which you cannot do, period. No,
that's right. Now,
he can go out and stand on the sideline, though.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. The president of the university can, too, but he's probably not going to be a coach in the offensive line either. I know he's not because he's an interim. As is the chancellor, by the way.
Let's go to Scott. Hey, Scott, thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning, guys. Coach, I agree with just about everything you say on a weekly basis. And like Chad, I kind of stand with what you say. My question is on the being in a hurry to hire an OC, what about your top-notch offensive recruits, such as your quarterbacks or your wide receivers, running backs, things of that nature, and even your offensive linemen? Is it not good to be able to tell them what they're going to be looking at as far as a game plan and things of that nature? Are they already assuring him that this is what the game plan is going to look like? Even if they have their offensive coordinator, but they're not naming him by name. Is there some assurances that the game plan is not going to change or is going to change? What do you think about that? Like I said, I'm not disagreeing at all.
No, that's a great question. Let me just kind of put it to you this way. I was a defensive coordinator at the University of Tennessee for John Majors. At the same time, Philip Fulmer was the offensive coordinator. We didn't run Doug Matthews' defense, and we didn't run Philip Fulmer's offense. We ran John Majors' defense and John Majors' offense. When Johnny Chavis and David Cutcliffe were the coordinators for Philip Fulmer, they didn't run their defense or offense. They ran what he wanted to run. Now, obviously, they knew more about the little intricacies of running it, particularly on the defensive side. And that's the same way with Coach Pruitt. This is Coach Pruitt's offense. It wasn't Ty Hilton's offense. It's not Will Friend's offense. It's not Chris Winkie's offense. This is his offense. And he's going to hire somebody that's going to run the style. Now, again, there's a lot of ways to skin a cat, but you got to have five offensive linemen, and you got to have a quarterback. The rest of the guys, or at least somebody lined up, the rest of the guys you can move around. So those are things they work with. I would just refer you to everybody, and I know some people get ticked off about this, too bad. Go back and look what Nick Saban has done with the offensive coordinator position, the different guys he's had there. But they all run what he wants to run, maybe out of a little different look, maybe out of a little different formation. Maybe they use one quarterback differently. That's what Jeremy Pruitt's going to put in place. Sometimes I get the feeling that some people think that this guy doesn't know anything about offensive football. It's his program. He's the one that's rebuilding this program. So, again, he may hire one of the guys in this room for all I know. Well, one of them.
It'll be you. David Reed.
But that's a very, very, very good question. And the answer on the recruiting thing, just think of this. Is there a possibility that not knowing who the coordinator is going to be could hurt? There's a small possibility, but not very large. But on the other side, just think about this. Is there a possibility that if you named the offensive coordinator, it might hurt? And there's only one position you're worried about. That's quarterback. You're not worried about the rest of them.
Doug, you have one more reason as to why it may or may not benefit a recruit at this stage to know who the coordinator would be?
Well, just wanted to touch one thing on that. Remember this. Players, prospects do not come to a school because of an assistant coach, period. Now, they may like an assistant coach. They come because of the head coach from a person and, of course, a university, and there's a lot of reasons to tie into that. But the head coach is the number one guy. And one other thing about the recruiting thing, that this is what gives me a lot of peace. Peace is the wrong word, but this staff, let's go back to when he hired this staff. The one thing that jumped out at me as a former coach of this staff was the recruiting prowess of these guys, including the head coach. He's got four or five guys. He may have more than that, but there's four or five that I know of that are outstanding recruiters. They've been the area that they're recruiting for a long time. They know these players. They know these coaches. They know these families, the high school coaches. So I would not be concerned at all about not having an offensive coordinator or any coach not named when signing day comes out. I don't think it's going to hurt him whatsoever. And so that's the thing to keep in mind. You go to a school because of the head football coach. Believe it or not, and I know there's some people out there that don't believe this.
Especially if you're signing early.
Yeah, nobody went to Alabama because Lane Kiffin was the offensive coordinator. I feel safe in saying that.
Early signing period begins 1 week from today. If you can fill one position to most improve this football team for next season, which position is it?
Well, you gave me about 4 minutes to think about it, and I can't name one position, one particular position. I will say this, though. Next year, it is clearly the defensive line. Now, there are many areas that certainly need to get better.
Okay.
And I'm confident will get better. But the defensive line, you lost your three top defensive linemen, at least the starters, and then the outside linebacker position, strong outside linebacker position, which is essentially a defensive lineman, got his hand on the ground all the time. You lost him, too. So 4 players there. That's the only area that Tennessee had any type of major loss. I didn't lose anybody on offense. You know, at least to graduation, may lose some for a few other reasons. So that would be the position. And have 2 junior college players committed to coming in that are junior college players, and then have got, I think, what, 8, I believe, defensive linemen committed so far for 3 positions.
Yeah, Coach is dead on, right? You're having to replace all 3 defensive linemen. I'll go specifically the nose. They need a big body that can occupy 2 blockers in the middle. One of the JUCO guys they have is an enormous kid that hopefully can come in and play right there. But if you're looking at just a spot that's going to be competently filled next year, it's nose in the middle of that 3-4 defense.
One guy that really stood out last year that'll be back, I don't know where they're going to play him. I think it looks to me like they play him at all 3 positions, both defensive ends and the nose tackle position, is Emmett Gooden. He played really well at the end of the year. He was a junior college player last year, in-state kid that went, I don't know if he went to Mississippi or Kansas Junior College, but he is a quality player. He'll be one of them, and they have some others returning. I just don't know who is going to be there.
He was in Kansas at Independence. He was a star of Last Chance U's third season when he was there.
Chad mentioned nose tackle, and we've heard if you flip it to the offensive line, we know Philip Fulmer coached the offensive line. And he would always hesitate to play freshman up front because of the body development, right? You start there. A guy comes in freshman year, is nowhere near where he'll be after 12 months on campus. Can you find a nose tackle as a freshman, body development-wise, for that age? You know what I mean?
Well, it's not whether you can or not. It's whether you have to. if that's the best you're going to have. I think I'm
How
correct.
Difficult is it for a guy to come into the SEC and have an impact at that position as a freshman?
I think I'm correct on this. I may be off 1 or 2. Philip was either the offensive line coach or offensive coordinator or head coach for, I think, 28 years. I believe he told me one time, I know the 10 years I was there with him, we only had 1 freshman ever start.
Mm.
And I think 2 overall. Now that could be a number up, but it's extremely difficult to do that. But again, that's a position. It's easy to, when after a year that Tennessee's had and the problems that they've had on offense, it's easy to say, well, there's not any good players up there. That's not true. Tennessee's going to be okay in the offensive line. Center and guard positions, I think, are going to be strong next year. Truly believe that with what's coming back. With development from the strength and condition, from learning more about it. They're not going to be a great team next year, but they're going to be better than they were this year.
Hey, this is Kyle Turris.
This is Yusasaro.
This is Matias Echo.
Hey, this is Nick Bonino from the Nashville Predators. Follow us all season long on 104.5 The Zone.
Doug Matthews in studio with us. You missed any of this hour, great info from our coach. You can hear it this weekend on Forklift Systems Football Saturday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Coach to coach at 11 a.m. And then Big Orange Sunday, every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. right here on The Zone. You can also listen to this podcast. We'll post it after the show, 1045thezone.com.
Yeah, this Sunday, just real quickly, going to hit what Tennessee's schedule looks like next year, 2019, and also take a look at the 8 SEC teams since they'll be playing, where they are from a quarterback standpoint, what they're losing, from a strength component. Should they be better? Should they not be as good? All that.
Excellent.
If you can't be good, you want your opponent to be worse.
that's key. The problem is Georgia and Alabama will not be worse. Yeah,
they'll be all right.
Not only do they have 1 quarterback coming back, they got 2, both of them.
Doug, Malzahn, in announcing that what they're doing at offensive coordinator, they made it clear that Gus Malzahn will call his plays next season. At least it's going to start out that way. I viewed it as Malzahn's last stand. Am I Am I jumping to conclusions there?
Well, you got to look at it like that. Now, the one thing that's helping his last stand is I think after this year, he'll still be owed about $37 million. So that's probably going to be a question. But, yeah. You know, you look at it, you just think about coaches who, when you do that, I think it's very smart. How do you get to be a head coach? You get to be a head coach by being an outstanding coordinator one side of the ball or not. You know, and I think, you know, Vanderbilt did it a couple of years ago. You know, head coach there, went to coach Stevens. I think it's smart to do. I really do. Now it takes away a little bit from your game day duties. Coach Pruitt is doing it right now to get that system in place. I'm sure at some point he probably will turn that over to somebody there, but not until he gets that system in place. I think it's very smart.
And defensive coordinator now at Ole Miss is Mike McIntyre, former head coach at Colorado. Your thoughts on him coming and now coaching the SEC?
Well, I've known Mike for a long, long, long time. Remembering when he was a quarterback over at Brentwood Academy in the early 80s, I thought he did really an excellent job of rebuilding that Colorado program. Colorado's a tough place to coach. Very tough place to coach. Here's my take Notre Dame out of it because they're a little bit different. Here's my theory on taking a job. If you take a job where there are very few players in your state, and very few players in contiguous states, any state that touches your state, you got a tough, tough job. The Kansases, the Kansas State, the Nebraskas even. Colorado fits into that. I can assure you they don't go up into Montana or Wyoming. Which one's the closest to them? Anyway, they don't go up there and get many
Wyoming,
get,
but they're both.
get many athletes. But
they're both
there's no doubt in my mind Michael get another opportunity for a head job because he did a very fine job. Won his division out there one year in the Pac-12.
Well, and staying at Ole Miss, they gain a defensive coordinator, Mike McIntyre. They lose Phil Longo, who's an air raid disciple, to North Carolina. He's going to go be the offensive coordinator for Mac Brown over there. How big is that opening now there at Ole Miss? And is that a situation you kind of see like Auburn, where it's a little bit more difficult to get someone to come in that's not an alum like Mike McIntyre, knowing that the future of their head coach isn't all that certain either?
Well, Mike wasn't an alum there. He's George Tech.
That's right. Yeah.
But he was with David Cutcliffe there.
He coached there in the early 2000s.
I knew he coached there before.
I think a good decision by them, and obviously it's something he wanted to do.
Doug, before we get to, and we'll wrap up with your thoughts on Vandy and their AD hire in a moment. Kyler Murray wins the Heisman Trophy. And Tua, who was the front runner, and there's no denying that throughout the majority of the season, does not play well in the SEC championship game. And that's when, if you follow the Vegas odds, that's when everything flipped to Kyler Murray. What do you think about Murray winning the award versus Tua losing the award?
Well, as you all know, we've talked about it privately, and I talked about it on the show. I'm not a big fan of the Heisman Trophy. I'm certainly not a big fan of the way they do the voting. I know we'll talk about that in future shows. But, you know, looking at it, I can't recall a year where we have had two players that really you can't go wrong with either one of them. If you watch either one of these guys play, they're both special, special players. I've mentioned all year long. I have not seen a player that has that special ability in this league throwing the football like Tua did. Now we've had some guys, Cam Newton and you know, a few other guys that were really top players, some running backs. But then you look at Oklahoma and the same thing. So I could see either one of those young men getting it. Congratulations to Kyler Murray. He came in and you know, without him, where would they have been? I think that was the argument at the end. But you know, it's not Tua's fault that they got a really good defense, you know.
Right.
One final thing. Just think about this. Just think about Oklahoma. Oklahoma had two Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks in a row.
First time ever.
And they didn't sign either one of them. They both transferred in to play football at Oklahoma. Didn't sign either one of them. Just think about that. Now, what's the chances of that happening one time, much less two times? We're going to find out next year. Now they got one of the one that's supposedly starting next year is being recruited by them. But real quick thing I don't like about the Heisman Trophy thing. I don't like this ability to vote for more than one person because we know We know that people leave. They total the points up, and mm-hmm. we know that people leave people off their vote, not because they're not deserving, because they want to help the person that they're voting for. I'd like to see the Heisman Trophy go to, you get one vote. Vote for first place. Because second place, Dale Earnhardt Sr. What did he say? First loser.
Ricky yep. Bobby, if you're not first, you're last.
Yeah. You're first loser.
That's right.
I'll take Dale Earnhardt over Ricky Bobby.
All right, Doug. Malcolm Turner, the new AD at Vanderbilt, comes from the NBA G League. Outside the box hire. You played at Vandy.
Yeah.
You follow what they do there.
Yep.
For what he will be asked to do, are you encouraged that they made the outside the box hire in this instance and went with the non-conventional line of thinking for who they're going to have lead their athletic department?
Don't know him at all. Don't know what his qualifications are. I will say this, though. Vanderbilt is an outside-the-box university in this league. And I think you could say that they have made some outside-the-box. David Williams was an outside-the-box hire. From my money, did a pretty darn good job, real good job at Vanderbilt. There was a point where they didn't have an athletic director.
That's right.
And they rode along pretty good. So I don't think it's going to make any difference to the student athletes over there. It's certainly not going to change anybody's opinion in the university itself about the direction they're going to go in. They are what they are at Vanderbilt. They were that way 50 years ago when I played there, and they're that way today, and they're probably going to be when I'm long gone and somebody else is sitting in this seat.
I hope he comes in and can change around the marketing and promotions aspect of how they go about things. I think that's the new line of thinking that needs to be set in stone for this market, with the many people that move here per day and the possibilities of new fans that didn't grow up Vanderbilt fans but are here now, latch on to Vanderbilt. There needs to be a new concept with how they go about finding those people.
You mentioned the fact that I played there. Mm-hmm. I also was an assistant coach there. I also once a month get together with guys that I played with over there and some guys I didn't play with. Here's the thing, though. What do you market at Vanderbilt? You don't market right now football, and you probably never will. What this athletic director, in my opinion, needs to do, you need to market baseball. You need to market basketball, women's basketball. Market your other sports. They are not going to, they being the administration, is mm-hmm. not going to allow this football program to be as good as they can be. That's not a criticism. There's limits to what Vanderbilt can be in this league. We know that. But those other sports, they've been really good in those other sports. So that's what I would market if I was them. It's not going to, you can market all you want to. You could probably even build a new stadium. You're going to have about 25,000 people go to ball games over there, unless it's an Alabama or a Tennessee or a Florida, somebody that's going to bring the other 23,000 with them. That'd be my advice, which they probably won't ask for, and I don't blame. I wouldn't ask me either.
Doug Matthews.
That's my opinion, and it ought to be yours.
Well, it will be now. Doug Matthews has been our guest in studio, presented by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, who, by the way, have been excellent for this show. Thank you to the Tennessee Highway Safety Office for sending Doug our way weekly. We're going to continue this throughout the bowl season.
Let me touch on that, too. Listen, holiday season, you see the signs all over TDOT puts up. A lot of needless deaths because of drinking and not putting a seatbelt on. Those are realities. That's why the Tennessee Highway Safety Office does this, to get that word out there. And, you know, too many other ways of getting home or not going or whatever. Need to take advantage of those. We'll have way too many Tennesseans that won't be with us after the first of the year because of drinking and driving and of not putting their seatbelt on.
Doug, thank you.
Good to be here. See you all next week.